the vampires walking through the valley. Welcome back. We are back with another edition of the Fantasy 40 podcast brought to you by our friends at Expand the Box Score. Check out Expand the Box Score. Use the promo code 40. Get 4 days free advanced stats. Check it out before you need to subscribe or sign up. So today is NFL free agency day. We're recording Monday morning.
National free agency day.
Yes.
Should be a holiday. So
we might be chipping in here with some breaking news as it comes, live reaction. But the topic of the day is post-combine rookie rankings. We held off a week, let everybody else talk about it, and we're jumping in here now. So, Walk, how are you, and where do you want to start?
I'm doing awesome. We never record on Mondays because in season, there's still Monday Night Football. So we don't usually talk at this point in the week. We're usually a Tuesday or Wednesday recording podcast. So this is a little odd, this early in the week. Just got my work week started, and I'm getting to chat with you during my lunch hour. But we were talking about some breaking news, and right before we went live, might make the outtakes, but just to get your 2 cents. Chase Edmonds reportedly signed a 2-year deal with the Miami Dolphins, and it's also being reported that means that James Conner likely to stay in Arizona. Who would you rather have on your dynasty roster for the next 2 years?
Oh, Edmonds for sure.
No doubt.
And then the answer you said might be in the outtakes. The answer for me is actually, if you're factoring cost, Eno Benjamin.
Yeah, I'm a big Eno Benjamin fan. I have him in quite a few spots, and supposedly Kingsbury's been talking him up as well because they knew that with both those guys hitting free agency and Connor and Edmonds, they said we're not going to be able to re-sign both. So it's going to open up opportunity for Eno Benjamin. They might even end up drafting someone, wouldn't surprise me at all. But to your point, yeah, Eno Benjamin could be a big winner in this. As Connor stayed healthy, relatively healthy last year, but that has not been the case for him in his NFL career. So I wouldn't just be banking on a year older him to retain, you know, his ability to stay healthy. This could be a huge Eno Benjamin opportunity in 2022. Yeah. But you're right. We are here to talk about post-combine rookies. We released our pre-combine rookie ranking episode 2 weeks ago, and then we gave it a little time to marinate as these guys, you know, got in those tight leotard onesies and went running around the field for everyone to ogle at, not only, you know, all of their testing, but, you know, also the on the field drills and then, you know, the ever important interview process, you know, that they went through. So we'll do the same thing we did last time. And I think we went quarterback, tight end, and then we went running back, wide receiver. So let's just try and rip through quarterback and tight end and then spend most of our time talking about the running back and wide receiver position, as that's kind of more, I don't want to say, important aspect of this class. I mean, even in a super flex, this is a weak quarterback class. So, you know, I think that's just more applicable and there's more interesting guys to talk about there. So, leading off in the quarterback position, I see that you finally came to Jesus and you put Malik Willis at one, which I'm proud of you. You bumped him up that ever important one spot from two above Sam Howell to get him at one. So now we are in lockstep with our one and two in Malik Willis and Sam Howell. You went rocket ship with Desmond Ridder. Doesn't surprise me. He had a massive combine, and you are a Senior Bowl, a combine guy, if ever there was one. So jump all the way up to three for you. He's my four. You have Kenny Pickett at four. Kenny Pickett's my three. So we're just interchanging there at three and four. We both have Corral at five. We both have Strong at six. So pretty consensus top six ranking of Malik Willis, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, and Carson Strong. Anything you wanted to discuss outside of that? Not a lot changed.
No, I mean, look, I don't think there's anyone out there that doesn't have the same top six, right? Unless they're being nuts. So it's a thin class. It's very top heavy. We got three probably for sure going in the first round, maybe four, possibly five if teams get desperate towards the end there.
And teams do get desperate, John.
They do.
Trading up for that fifth-year option has value. So you could see someone sneaking in as a team that wants, like, do the Lamar Jackson from the Ravens traded with my Eagles to go and secure him. So,
yeah, and I this will be a thing as we go through the other positions too. The more I'm getting into this class, the more I'm liking it. And it seems like a lot of people are down on it overall, and especially a quarterback. look, any of these guys that get this first round draft capital, even guys that end up sucking, unless they completely fall off the face of the earth, they still have decent value for that first contract. So any of, you know, Pickett, Ridder, Howell, Willis, assuming those are the four that go in the first round, you've got to use a guy you can start, whether they're going to be QB1s. That's up, well up for debate for a while here, but you got a guy you can plug and play. So I'm not as turned off. We'll see what the NFL thinks about him and what kind of draft capital they get, but I don't hate them as much as I did 3 weeks ago.
And I think that's very well said. And you were leading the charge on this, like trading out of 22 to 23 camp about it, you know, at this point last year, as one, this was being talked about as a down class, and 23, rightfully so, is being argued as a potential, I don't want to say all-time class, but, you know, much greater ROI mm-hmm. than these 22 guys. But I was like just snatching up second round picks like in 2022 constantly for like little impact. And now I'm looking at a lot of routes and I'm like, man, I'm going to really be able to restock the shelf for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, with your Desmond Ridder of going up to three, I put a tweet out saying I'm going to have like an unhealthy amount of Desmond Ridder in my dynasty portfolio, because if he's sitting there in the early second round, I'm taking him. Just constantly. I'm going to take the chance on him. And for those of you that were under a rock, Desmond Ridder, 6'3", 211, ran a 4.5, 240, 36-inch vert, 127-inch broad, ran a 3-cone in 7.15. Super athletic. And, yeah, we saw him running around at Cincinnati, but I don't think people were expecting him to run faster than Treylon Burks did in the 40. I mean, this guy is bringing an added dimension. Very interested to see how NFL teams evaluate him and where he ultimately lands, because much like Jalen Hurts, who I am not a fan of as an NFL quarterback, the fantasy value is there. And I think that's going to be the case with Desmond Ridder as well. I mean, that's why we both have Malik Willis where we do. He is very unpolished as a passer, has a cannon for an arm, but he has 1,000-yard rushing potential as soon as he enters the NFL. And that's just fantasy points. I mean, you don't have to be a good quarterback to be a good fantasy quarterback, unfortunately. It might not get you a long life in the NFL, but listen, I'll deal with that 5-6 years from now, you know, when he's Marcus Mariota and they're giving up on him before giving him a new contract. You know what I mean? So, yeah, not a lot on the quarterback side to talk about, but I'm with you. I'm starting to get more intrigued with my 2022 picks as rookie draft season is upon us. So moving from QB to my favorite position in the NFL, tight ends. And one didn't move, Trey McBride. He didn't do anything. So why would it move? I mean, we'll see what comes of him. Then you had Isaiah Likely at 2, Jalen Weidemeyer 3. Greg Dulcich, welcome to the party. Moved him all the way up to 4. Thanks for coming. He's my 3. I told you Greg Dulcich was going to be a dude. And not only did he run fast, but he just looked great catching the ball. So I'm Trey McBride, Jalen Weidemeyer, Dulcich. Actually bumped Isaiah Likely down a little bit to my 4. But we still have the same top 4. So not the same top 5. Charlie Kohler as well. Not a lot to talk about there. You love Grant Calcaterra, and clearly more than I, but you jumped him all the way up to 6 after he ran fast. He's down at 8 for me. So all the way down at 8 for me. But we're going to go with Calcaterra, Jelani Woods, who is a massive human being that also ran fast and lifted pretty well. 6'7", 259 for Jelani Woods. You got Chig. Oh, I don't want to butcher this guy's name. I actually put how to pronounce it over here.
Okonkwo.
Way up. I'm never going to get there. He's 6'2", 238. He's just never going to be a full-time tight end. He's going to be like H-backy, maybe even a fullback. That catches passes here and there. So he's my 10. Then Daniel Bellinger, who I figured you would love eventually. Let's see what your radar. He's your 9. He's my 11. Then Cole Turner and Kate Otten you have at 10, 11. I have them up at 6 and 7 respectively. So kind of a mixed bag after that top 5. Is there anyone you wanted to talk about specifically?
Yeah. Isaiah Likely, I bumped up to 2. You said you moved him down. I don't know where you had him last week. Must have been 3 probably. But I thought he looked really good doing everything at the combine. I didn't, when we get to running backs, I got to watch all the tight ends. I got to watch the wide receivers, quarterbacks, running back I missed. And the NFL sucks and you can't find the full combine anywhere. So I had to piece stuff together for running backs, but I got to see Likely do a, you know, little bit of everything. And he impressed me past the eye test on the combine stuff. Jelani Woods, same thing. I don't think either of us even had him ranked previous to this. And I kind of like these guys that have that career arc. I think he played,
he started at Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah. Virginia.
So, and at Oklahoma State, he was used more in line and blocker. So he gets the experience doing that. And he ends up in Virginia and they use him a little more as a pass catcher. And I'm always intrigued by guys like that because they have, you know what I mean? Getting a couple of years to focus on different skill sets, I think, is better than mixing it all together and trying to master them at the same time. So I think that's good for him. Like I said, he was totally off my radar till he is a monster that's flying around and strong as shit. So I'm super intrigued by him. I think the upside's sky high, and obviously we see a lot of these guys fall flat, especially at tight end. And then, yeah, you said you knew I'd fall in love with Bellinger. Guilty.
Yeah, I mean, Jelani Woods, it's funny. You thought of it as a positive. I thought it as a negative that he caught, like, no footballs in, 3 years at Oklahoma State so they could focus on his blocking. I mean, that means that they didn't view him as a pass catcher in any capacity, but maybe also because he's 30 pounds shy of being an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, maybe he's just a phenomenal blocker for his insanely huge as he is. Yeah, ran fast, looked pretty smooth catching the ball in the gauntlet drills. I just seen shades of like a Mo Alie-Cox to him. I don't know, he even kind of looks like Mo Alie-Cox a little bit, so maybe I'm just making a square peg round hole analogy here, but I don't know. Late bloomer type guy, but I mean, that can happen at the tight end position. I'm not crazy about him. He's down at 12 for me, but he has room to come up. Bellinger, I don't know how you got him higher than me in the re-rack, but yeah, I like that guy. I think he's going to take some time, but in a tight end premium league with like a fourth or fifth round pick, I'm going to be snatching up a ton of Daniel Bellinger to put on my taxi squads. And then, Grant Calcaterra, good to see him back. Ran fast. He was a premium prospect 2 years ago that kind of fell off the radar. We mentioned on the pre-combine that, you know, he medically retired due to concussions, but he's back. If he can stay on the field, the kid has upside. So I like that you put him in at 6 for you. I'm just a little more cautious at 8, but this tight end class is becoming more and more appealing. The top guys, I don't think, did anything wrong. And you're right. I did have Likely above Dulcich before, and Likely looked good. I don't know. I just really like Dulcich. Just watching the tape, I see NFL production. Not that I don't want Isaiah Likely. I've liked Likely for the last few years, but they just flip-flop spots. I just put Dulcich one above him. So yeah, I had McBride, Weidemeyer, Likely, Dulcich pre-combine. So the only thing is that Dulcich popped up one spot. Outside of that, we both tanked Jeremy Ruckert, which I think was probably the right decision to make. For us, it just doesn't seem like he'll be one of those like 8 to 10 year NFL tight ends that is never on a dynasty a fantasy roster because it's extremely irrelevant. He's a tight end 2 or 3 on his own team, blocks more than he catches type thing. But you know, pushing him down that far just reinforces to me how strong of a class this really is. It's going to take some seasoning when it's all said and done. I don't know that any of these guys, I mean, even Trey McBride, are just going to explode year one, which is reasonable. You shouldn't really expect tight ends to really jump off like Kyle Pitts did, although Kyle Pitts was pretty much playing wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons all year last year. But that aside, it's very rare that, you know, these guys get off the bus and they get all the blocking assignments and the route running assignments down pat where these teams are trusting them to chip for their quarterback, get out in routes and do all that type of stuff. So practice patience with the tight end position. Anything more you want to talk about?
No. Let's get on to the sexy positions.
Let's get on to it. And I think, do you recall, did we do running back, wide receiver, or wide receiver, running back?
I believe we did.
What did we finish with?
Running back last.
Okay. You want to stick with that or you want to flip it up?
Don't matter.
All right. So we'll go to wide receiver. So I snap judgment, got Traylon Burks from 1 to 2. And then I was like, settle down. You just going a little too far. You love Treylon Burks. The guy is 225 pounds and ran a 4.55. And his, I guess what they call the flying 20 now. Are you aware of what the flying 20 is?
No.
I believe it's the second 20 yards in the 40-yard dash. So now there's like a new – imagine like when someone finally gets going, like what they look like at top speed, and his flying 20 was good. So he has more build-up speed, I guess what it is. And I'll concur. He didn't look comfortable coming out of his stance running the 40. It looked strange to me. And caught you a tenth of a second.
My annual rant about how fucking stupid it is for them to come out of a 3-point stance. Like,
yes, they should be in a 2-point NFL stance.
However you line up on the football field is how you should run it. Yes. So if you're a running back, you should stand there with your fucking feet parallel, your hands on your knees. If you're a wide receiver, 1 foot in front of the other. If you're a down lineman, then yeah, you get in a 3-point stance and run from there. I will never understand this track meet nonsense.
And that's exactly what it is. These guys are training for track events when, I mean, some of them are track guys. Sure. So it's even a further unfair advantage for some rather than others. But I stepped back and I said, don't be so hasty. You see what Treylon Burks can be. Get him back in your one. You, on the other hand, went full Garrett Wilson, 101. And Treylon Burks isn't even your wide receiver two at this point in time, which if you asked me before I looked at our Google sheet, who you went most unreasonably high on after the combine, I would have said George Pickens. There would have been no hesitation for me about who John DeBarry had skyrocket up his rankings than George Pickens out of Georgia. And lo and behold, he's your wide receiver two. So yeah, take the floor with George Pickens, and then we'll move on.
Well, even going back to, tight end and quarterback, where I move Ritter up, and I bump Likely up, and I move Jelani Woods up, I'm starting to – I think I started doing it last year, but prior to that, my rankings were kind of floor. I ranked guys by their floor because I'm too scared to swing and miss early in these rookie drafts. But now I'm starting to see – I was going to say the error in my ways, but I'm just trying something different. I wouldn't say what I have done is wrong, but now I'm kind of swinging for the fences. So I'm ranking guys on upside. So for me, Pickens has as much, if not the top upside of the wide receivers in this group. He looked healthy. You know, his concerns are off the field stuff and other things. I'm not worried about him. As far as upside, I'm happy with him being my wide receiver too.
Yeah, I mean, after the draft, he'll have to move down in your rankings because he's going to be a day two pick, and you're ultimately going to end up putting some of these first round guys back above him. But I respect, sure. I respect the process with you. I love Pickens. I mean, I have Pickens at 6 in my post combine, in my pre combine rankings. He was 8. For me, and you had him at 6 already. So we both were, I don't say relatively high on Pickens even beforehand. So the move ups were almost consistent with both of our rankings. You had him above me to begin with. So it's only stands to reason that after a solid combine where he still said he's not 100% recovered, and he ran his 40 in what, 4.47 at 6'3, 195 pounds, like just impressive 40 time, and in a low volume offense at Georgia, whenever he got the ball thrown to him, he just made plays just constantly. And he is a relentless blocker. There's clips out there of him like 30 yards downfield on a guy like throwing him into the stands.
Yeah,
because he's just like blocked so well. Like NFL teams are going to love that. So I'm there with you. I mean, I had him at 6. You had him all the way up at 2. So he's consensus 4 for us. Treylon Burks, he was my 1, he's your 3, he's 2. Jameson Williams, I kept at 3, you have a 4. So he stays at our 3 overall. Chris Olave, we both had a 5, he stayed at 5. Now, another point of debate is Drake London, who I currently have as my wide receiver 4. You hate Drake London. You have Drake London at wide receiver 8. And I'm not going to say he's like a heavier George Pickens because their games aren't the same, but I'm confused how you can love Pickens so much and absolutely hate Drake London at the same time. Because Drake London is 6'3", 219 to the 6'3", 195 George Pickens. So the big body receiver thing is kind of going to play out here once Drake London has his pro day on April 5th as well.
Well, yeah, not participating in the combine, getting hurt, obviously. For combine, post-combine rankings, dings him for me. I was already a little low on him. So, and of course, the elephant in the room. I will not trust the USC wide receivers. But I moved him up. Didn't I have him 10 prior to the combine? So even without doing any combine stuff, he is up at 8. So he did gain ground despite doing nothing.
You did have him at 10. Now, and I will say it's because for whatever reason you had Wandell Robinson at 8, and that just was never going to stick when it was all said and done. And then, yes, you had John Menchie above him as well. So, okay, at least he's cleared some of those hurdles for you, having not done anything. So let's circle back on April 6th after his pro day and see where things get. I could still see myself putting Drake London above Jameson Williams up into my top three when it's all said and done. He won't go outside of my top five. But beyond him, Jahan Dotson's still hanging around for us. I'm souring on him a little bit. I think he's a playmaker, but he's undersized at 5'11", 184. And that might not be the end of the world in the new NFL, but he also ran a 4.43. I don't know. The way everyone ran here, he just seemed meh to me. Mm-hmm. You got Ohio State guys running four threes. Four-four-three isn't insulting by any means, but at his size, it's certainly not a plus for him. So I think he's just kind of lingering there for the both of us. I don't want to speak for you. He's down at 9 for me. He's still up at 6 for you. I think 6 is a little high for Jahan Dotson.
It's the anti-USC thing almost. I mean, I know this as well as anyone. I buy into this narrative that certain programs put out NFL caliber players at certain positions, and Penn State has had good wide receivers come into the NFL. So he gets a small bump just for being a Penn State guy.
Fair enough. I mean, he's a senior, really had his breakout season this past year. I mean, he did well in their 9 games in 2020, but finally got to, almost 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns in 12 games in 21. Never really did much as a kick returner, which, I don't know. I always want to see a little bit of that, especially with a guy his size. But 25 career returns, 338 yards, 1 touchdown, and that was where he got most of his volume, was 8 returns for 197 and a touchdown in his junior year. So, I don't know. With guys that size, I just want to see him involved more. And the fact that he wasn't really involved in the special teams, I don't know, is a slight ding, in my opinion. But it's not knocking him outside my top 10. Next guy down the list, Christian Watson. Christian Watson, 6'5", 205 from North Dakota State. This dude ran a 4.36 40. 6'5", 208. Ran a 40 faster than Jahan Dotson did. I mean, he is skyrocketing up boards. There's buzz that he could be a first round NFL draft pick. I don't think he is when it's all said and done, but there's like legitimate NFL draft guys saying that they've heard that teams like him as a top 32 pick.
Yeah, I don't know how, where did I have him?
1, 2, 3. Where do you have him now? 7.
No, before I had him 10, when I had him 7. Yeah,
I had him 11 before.
I like him.
I had him at 9. I'd like the player. I mean, just big body, like North Dakota State. Just like they're a legitimate program. I mean, they are, the Alabama of, what is it, the FCS. I mean, that's just they're a good team.
Why can't they just call it Division II?
Like they used to. That's just insulting. You know what I mean? Just call him like NCAA junior.
Now I got to figure out which initials are what. Just please go back to Division II.
Championship. Another, that's the only thing you got to remember. B before C. I mean, that's all you got to remember.
Old man Rand.
Yeah. So good that we're both there on him. David Bell, I have at 7 above Watson, who I have at 8. You have David Bell at 9. Before draft, we had him 6 and 7 respectively. So he dropped a little bit for us, and it's because he had a dog shit. 4.65 40. There's tight ends that ran faster than him. Your boy Jelani Woods and Chig Okonkwo ran faster than David Bell did. And while I don't think, and if anyone like really tanked him because of his combine time, I think you're probably being a little short-sighted, because if you watch tape, you just know he's not like supremely athletic. I mean, it's like, but still, he didn't do anything well. And I'm like belaboring a little bit because I'm trying to get to his page where
I wonder if he's one of the guys that's just if I think we see it more at running back, but I think he's just a football player. You know what I mean?
And like, I'm there with you. And you can be that. You can be a technician as a wide receiver, right? We've seen it before. But, I mean, he's a junior declare, which you like to see. He had an early breakout. But on top of the 4.65 40, 33-inch vert, 118 on the broad, 7.143 cone, and a 4.57 shuttle. I mean, it just – and
what, what was the broad again?
118, so not even 10 foot. Sub 10 foot broad.
Those numbers all suck.
Yes, they're not good, sir. I mean, thank God he didn't bench press. You know, I mean, we would have
three.
Yeah, we would have really been traumatized by David Bell. But I mean, productive. The tape is there. 6'2", 205 too. So he's a bigger guy, you know. But you still can't run 4.65. I mean, it's just, that's like Anquan Boldin territory, where that's the exception, not the rule. I mean, that still weighs in. I just like the production. The player. Rondell Moore was there during his time at Purdue, and he still was the alpha, you know, so he has succeeded with target competition, you know, during his time at Purdue. I can't tank him entirely, but man, if Christian Watson gets any type of draft capital, he's jumping David Bell for me. So, I mean, now we're talking, he's down to 8 for me. Yeah, that might push him down to 10 for you. I mean, and now you're on the brink, like you're not even in the top 10 wide receivers in this class, which isn't like all time. It's just it's damning for David Bell.
Well, so that's a good transition. You're talking about this class and not being able to get in that top 10. We have the same kind of top 9, different order, and then we more or less have the same 10 down. What I have found is, and you were talking about having second round picks and being happy about it this year, I am starting to really like this group from 10 down. I don't know if there's anybody in there that I would bump into the top 10, but you know, going through where I have guys, I could see Sky Moore maybe squeaking into that top 10. He had a really good combine. I have
man hands. Sky man hands Moore.
But there's I don't know what order you want to go through, mine or yours or a consensus, but this group from 10 down, I like a lot more than I did again, going back 3 weeks ago, the more I've seen of them. I think there's going to be some later gems in this class. If people want to get out of this draft, you know, a lot of times you're in the drafts and people are like, I don't want anybody anymore. I'm sick of this. Anybody want this pick? I'll just take whatever for next year. I might be moving into this draft a lot more than I have in years past.
Yeah, because you feel like the cost won't be there. But I'm with you. I mean, I was just mentioning earlier about the quarterbacks and second-round picks. Yeah, I mean, David Bell falls out of the first round, which he is out of the first round, even in standard rookie drafts right now. If I can get David Bell with a mid-second-round, late second-round pick in traditional leagues, I'm going to have a shit ton of David Bell. I'm going to draft him, you know, at the end of the day, because Christian Watson is going to be more appealing to just about every dynasty drafter than a David Bell with even comparable capital. Sky Moore is getting like all types of publicity as largely this slot only weapon, but I mean, tested through the roof. Production was there at Western Michigan. I mean, we haven't even got down to the rest of the guys. Like Justin Ross 2 years ago was a Devy darling. And now I have him at 12. We both have him at 12. I mean, that dude's like going to be a third round rookie pick at this point in time, because he couldn't even test because he had to have like surgery on his foot, or didn't have surgery and had to rest it. He had like a fracture in his foot.
Two years ago, wasn't he supposed to be the top guy?
Yes. And then he had some degenerative neck.
Hurt his neck, yeah.
Well, he has a condition, like a degenerative bone disorder or something, where they thought he might've been done. And then, Yeah, something about his fractured ankle. I think he's the one with the degenerative condition, if I'm wrong. My apologies. Had something wrong with his neck where it was kind of in question.
Yeah.
And his game changed. He went from this like downfield big play threat with Trevor Lawrence to this like chain mover in his last season. Like his, I don't know. Did he lose his explosion? Did the offense change? Of course, without Trevor Lawrence there, the offense changed. But I don't know. I didn't see the same player in Justin Ross these last couple of years. So a little bit of a concern. And then there's still names, John Mechie, who, you know, Alabama, like, dude put up decent production, and there was other guys there that are way better than him. I mean, and he still produced. I mean, but we're talking about Jameson Williams in our top four without even testing in the combine. And then Jackson, who's the other Alabama guy?
Christ. In the draft?
No, it's still there.
Oh,
big name.
Yeah.
Player that didn't come out. But I was going to Ohio State with how they both suck.
Sure.
Jackson Smith and Jigba is by far the best guy. But, you know, Mechie is going to be a late second, third round pick. I like Alex Pierce. I mean, he's limited, but 6'3", 211, big boy burning
he's
as well.
He's good.
With Cincinnati.
He's good.
Yes.
He's there somebody.
Desmond Ridder. You know, we're at here. A 4-4-1 at his size. I mean, he kind of moves like a cruise liner. I mean, he's not real fluid, but he's big and fast.
Well, we both have him 14. And when I was – and this is what I'm talking about with this group. I had him at 14, and I'm like, fuck. A lot of these guys I felt were too low, but I couldn't really find someone to jump them over.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, but, yeah, I if I switched him with – shit, following the draft, put him up in the 10, switch him and – Sky Moore, if Sky Moore doesn't get the capital. I like Alec Pierce a lot.
Yeah, he's a solid player. I mean, has the kind of body we coveted out of wide receivers like 5 years ago, which seems like a lifetime ago. But, you know, in this no-touch NFL league now, you know, things are changing. But
yeah,
I like the player. You have Jalen Tolbert all the way down to 16. He's 11 for me. I like him. You know, 190 out of South Alabama.
I like him too. And just like I said with Pierce, where I'm like, oh, who am I going to put this guy ahead of? Tolbert didn't fall for any good reason. I just like these other guys a lot more. Like Tolbert to me should be right around 10 or 11. But I liked what I saw from other guys. And like we said with Justin Ross, we know what the potential upside is, so it's like I got to put him a little higher. So Tolbert fell for no good reason for me, because I really like him too. I really like the I feel like they're safe. Like none of these guys have bust written all over them. Like in other years you go through and you're like, you know, this guy lands in a good spot, I'll be really happy with him, but oh boy, if he gets buried somewhere. I think all these guys have a potential role. I think there's less bust in 10 through 20 than there is in 1 through 10, although 1 through 10 has all the upside.
I think it's very well said. And just stay on Jalen Tolbert for a second, because, one, I'm pretty sure on the pre-combine you can compare Jalen Tolbert to Marvin Jones, if I recall correctly. Compared someone to Marvin Jones, and I want to say it was Jalen Tolbert.
Who was it? Yeah, you're right.
Zane Zerline compared Jalen Tolbert to Marlon Jones Marvin Jones on NFL.com. And this combine didn't do anything to hurt him. 4.49, 40-yard dash. This kid is 6'1", 194, so decent body. 36-inch vert, 123 broad, 7.08 3-cone. All solid numbers from a testing perspective. And the kid showed up these last 2 years on tape, even against quality competition in the SEC. I like Jalen Tolbert a lot. It's probably going to be a Jalen for Jahan swap when it's all said and done for me, because I don't see it, if – similar draft capital, me taking Jahan Dotson over Jalen Tolbert. So Tolbert will likely, unless he just plummets in the NFL draft, be inside my top 10 when we're done. Last guy I want to talk about before we got out of here, and it's because you went from 0 to 60 on this guy, and it's Mr. 11 on your side, Vegas Jones, who I also like out of Tennessee.
This is your fault. Well. Yeah, you started this.
Flashy. He's down to 17 for me. So, yeah, I did send you, like, check this guy out thing. And then he went and tested well. But at the same time, he's a redshirt senior. I mean, so he's NFL old. He did run a 4.31, fastest wide receiver time at the combine. But he also was, if I off the top of my head recall correctly, he was a USC transfer to Tennessee. They didn't do shit at during his time at USC. Finally broke out this past year at he was the second fastest. I forgot about Tyquan Thornton out of Baylor, around a 4.28, but second fastest 40 time, 6'2", 204, decent body size, 33-inch vert, and a 121 broad. So nothing bad there, but that 4.3, 140 is what really put him on the map. He's compared to Devin Duvernay from Lanzarote. I think that's very apt comparison because of his special teams proclivities. I went a little Cordarrelle Patterson, which until last season would not have been a good dynasty player to have on your roster, where he's a good special teamer that is, I think, still learning the nuances of a wide receiver position. So unless he gets into a super creative spot, I'm just concerned about what his fantasy football value is going to be. You want to talk about Velus Jones for a second?
Well, we talk about my rankings shifting. You know, I do my initial. We do this. Guys move all over the place. I don't mind shaking it up dramatically. And after the draft, it's the same thing. So he was unranked, I believe, first time. Now he's up at 11. If he gets a, you know, shit capital and a bad landing spot, welcome to the 20 to 30s-ville, Mr. Velus Jones. But as of right now, you know, he's got a little head of steam behind him. People are talking about him, Like I said, I blame you. You're the one who sent me clips of this guy. Like, oh, check him out.
It was exciting. Don't get me wrong.
Hook, line, and sinker, I bit. So
yeah. Well, maybe I'm just trying to, you know, classic misdirection for you, since we're in just about every league together now at this point in time. But like the player, I just don't ever think he's going to be anything worthwhile. He's also going to be 25 years old this season, so he's already going to qualify for the veteran minimum on his first contract when he enters the NFL. So he's a day three guy who everything breaks right for him. He will have an opportunity to be Cordarrelle Patterson. That's it on the wide receiver position. We're going to end in running back, and no sweeping changes for us. We both had Breece Hall as our running back one. Last time, he is still our running back one. We both had
He's locked in now, isn't he?
He's cement, like, yeah. whatever, like, it's he's Loctite, he's Bondo, he's, you know, the super glue.
He's your number one finger together, period. Now, also,
he is in traditional leagues, like, yeah. Just, I was Treylon Burks, and then Breece Hall was two for me. He's going to get early day two draft capital. He's going to be the unquestioned starter on the team he lands on, and he's going to get that coveted three down workload that is getting rarer in today's NFL. So yeah, he's unquestioned. Now, we both had Kenneth Walker a little lower before. I had him at three, you had him at four. We both bumped him up to two. Dude had an amazing combine. Didn't look like a slouch catching the ball, even though I still have reservations on him. 5'9", 211, compact frame to get up to two. Pre-combine, we both had Isaiah Spiller at two, and he's four for both of us now, which probably would have been greater had this been a more impressive class. Spiller barely tested. The things that he did do, he did poorly. He came out and said, or his agent came out and said, that he had some like oblique injury. If that is actually true, I'm firing my agent right on the spot. Correct. If he even let me test, like, you weren't doing the 40 and you weren't doing other things, why the fuck would you think you would do the explosion stuff, you know, in the vert and the broad jump? I mean, it's poor. If true, these would have to be
bullshit.
These would have to be monumental shifts at his pro day to believe that. But he doesn't strike me as the most athletic running back in the world. So he's kind of like a slow play developer. A lot of people are giving him the Le'Veon Bell. Well, maybe that's just because he's slower. Maybe like he can read and react well, but he's just not fast. So he doesn't hit holes with speed. Like he just seems a tick slower on everything. So maybe he's just not a hyper athlete. Still like the player, but, you know, 6'2", 217, like, kind of has a Joe Mixon vibe to him when I watch him play a little bit, not only in style, but just in body type as well. Draft capital is going to go a long way for him to stay with us, because some other guys have kind of piqued, I think, both of our interests after that. But I didn't want to skip past Mr. Number 3, Rashad White. Woo-hoo. Of Arizona State. He 6'2", 214 deserves to be running back three in this class. The only thing, not sure if you're aware of this or not, but I added age to our combine rankings. He's already 23 years old, a redshirt senior. He took the long road, the JUCO path to Arizona State. Ran a 4.48 40 at his size, so didn't blaze, but he's bigger than some of these other guys. Plenty fast enough. Looked every bit the part as a pass catcher. Still liked the player. Slight concerns that he's a one-contract guy, but if anyone really starts looking at running backs as multi-contract guys, you should probably rethink your process. But the leash isn't going to be as long. Breece Hall isn't even 21 years old yet. Isaiah Stewart isn't even 21 years old yet. These guys are close to 3 years younger than Rashad White is. That has to factor in. Time that you're going to have this asset has to factor in for you. So I'm interested in what the NFL thinks about him.
But do you think for Dynasty, are you counting on any of the running backs to be there or be a key piece of your teams for more than 4 years anyway? Just the way the NFL even treats them?
I was going to say, you shouldn't. That should be part of your process. I mean, you should be looking to sell these guys after three good seasons.
Yeah.
You know, is by and large, but he'll be 27 years old in 4 years.
Oh, I get it.
He might not, if he doesn't pop in that first contract, he's not going to get opportunity beyond that, you know? So no, I don't act like I'm going to have these guys for 8+ years like wide receivers, but I would prefer them not to be 23 years old when I draft them. I mean, it's a red mark on the spreadsheet of fantasy life, and it matters a little bit. That being said, he's our running back three for both of us, so we both still like the guy. Jerome Ford and Zamir White are tied for running back five for both of us. Neither really disappointed. 4.4 flat for Zamir White, 4.46 for Jerome Ford, both mid-22s, so a little older as well. I mean, they're 2 years older than Breece Hall is, roughly. Yeah. And Isaiah Spiller. So still a significant age gap between the younger running backs. And Kenneth Walker is only 21. You know what I mean, so those the guys that were the top three, you know, going into everything are all 21 or younger. And then some of these other guys are really pushing the age gap. Everyone after them is short of Kyren Williams. And I don't even know if we're going to talk about Kyren Williams at this point in time. But the rest of our top 12, the youngest guy is 22.4, that's Zamir White. And then it pushes all the way up to 23.2 years old, which are several of these running backs that you and I both like. All fall in that elder statesman criteria. But Ford and White, I don't think there's a lot to talk about here. Zamir White looked really good. Maybe he's finally fully recovered and healthy off those ACLs. You have him at 5 for you, and he's at 6 for me. White and Ford are interchangeable, in my opinion. It's going to be draft capital. That's what's going to decide for the two of them. I don't know if there's a ton to talk about there.
And I had Ford ahead of White initially, and then I realized I just had White lower because of his knee situation. So I was like, I'm not going to – the guy looked great. I'm not going to – you know, he looked great, was able – you know, was fast, did everything he was supposed to do, was as good as advertised or better. So I'm not dinging him because of the knees at this point. Plenty of fucking two football ACLs. Players have one or two ACLs. He's ahead of the curve as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, so that's why I put White ahead of Ford. He just looked better. And Ford looked good, too.
Ford did look good. And if anyone hasn't seen Jerome Ford's headshot on Player Profiler, that dude just looks like a running back. There's no one I've ever seen look more like a running back than Jerome Ford's headshot. Beyond him, I'm going full Zaquandre White at this point in time. I have him as my running back 7. You have him all the way down at running back 9. So he's there for us behind Ford and White. He is another aged running back, 23.2 years old. There's a theme here of this 23.2 years, as it seems like a fair amount of these prospects were born at the exact same time. Yeah. But he has a 4.51 per Player Profiler. I did not see that he participated in any of the events at the combine, so I don't know where that 4.51 came from, unless South Carolina already went and had their pro day. But I'll take 4.51 from White, silky smooth, 6'1", 215. Doesn't shy away from contact, cuts on a dime, just seems like an NFL running back you know, and I'm interested to see what kind of capital he gets. You, for some reason, still have Kyren Williams at 7. And I'm having a hard time just that with their averaging that Kyren Williams is still staying in our top 12.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously undersized and his athletic testing was not good, but watching him do the drills and going back to watching him play football, the testing may not have been there, but the guy passes the eyeball test and doing football stuff. I mean, we'll see what his pro day numbers look like. Hopefully he can improve them dramatically. But
if I'm his agent, I'm making him run from Indianapolis back to South Bend.
So I'm keeping him up there. Obviously, super prone to see how the NFL reacts to what his combine looked like. Because, yeah, he's an interesting case study. Because what we saw at the combine compared to what we saw on the field are two totally separate things. So it's going to depend what the NFL thinks.
Yeah, I mean, 5'9", 194. So already, you know, kind of size challenged. Ran the slowest 40 time at the running back position. Slowest. But no one that participated ran slower than him. 32 vert, 116 broad. So nothing great there either. Yes, he's a football player. I get that. Like, I liked him on tape. I mean, I liked the player. I already had concerns about his size. And then he goes and, you know, curdles it up at the combine. And he dropped all the way to 12 for me. He's a guy that can catch passes. You know, I think if all the stars align, he can fall into like a role where he has 10 or 12 touches per game. But I just see him as a RB3 special team type guy on most teams. I actually moved Tyler Beatty above him, who was just as little, 5'8", 197, similar production, but he ran a 4.45 40. He is another one of these older prospects at 23 years old. But I saw Tyler Beatty carry the mail his senior year at Missouri. Now, conversely, he couldn't beat Larry Roundtree out his freshman through junior years out at Missouri. So it's also a knock on him. But if I'm going undersized backs that have shown me they can catch the football, I'm going to go with Tyler Beatty, who tested better and has proven production during his time in the SEC. So
you could sell me on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for, I just feel bad for Kyren Williams, but this is where we're at. But that was our 11 and 12. So let's fill in the gaps. Under Zaquandre Wright, we have Brian Robinson Jr., who didn't do anything wrong, had a good combine, 22.9 years of age. We all know he stayed at Alabama forever, so he could finally be the starting running back there. So explains why he's almost 23. James Cook, who is also over 22, 22.4, same exact age as Zamir White, his Georgia teammate, ran a 4.42 himself. Nothing to scoff at. And then
good running a lot of the drills. I mean, he's probably coming in as somebody's third down guy from day one.
Yeah, 5'11", 199, just a bigger player than I think probably some people thought. Bigger than the previous two we mentioned in Tyler Beatty and Kyren Williams, and offers that pass catcher profile as well. So I think he ultimately gets NFL drafted before both of those guys. And so that's why we both have him ranked. Well, at least both have him ranked. Well, Beatty, I think ultimately you're going to get Kyren Williams down under James Cook. But then the last guy I want to talk about here before we get out of here, unless there was any of these other names that just were worth talking about, it was Pierre Strong, 5'11", 207 out of South Dakota State University. What are they, like the Jackrabbits or something like that? I know they got a rabbit under their helmet. I'm not going to act like I follow them too stringently, but 4.37 40, the kid just exploded at the aforementioned, what I say, 5'11", 207, so NFL body type. South Dakota State is a noteworthy program.
Yeah.
But again, he is 23.2 years old. Common theme, Zaquandre Wright, Rashad White, and Pierre Strong, all 23.2 years of age when they entered the NFL draft. So how do you factor that in with the guy who tied for the fastest 40 at the combine on top of a 36-inch vert and a 124-inch broad? So respectable in both of those, didn't do any of the shuttle drills or the bench press, but kid looks the part and was uber productive at South Dakota State.
I think, you know, you mentioned Rashad White, 23, Zaquandre Wright, 23, Pierre Strong, 23, Beatty, 23. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 guys off the top, 4 guys in our top 10 that are 22. I think in another year where a lot of guys are 20, 21, I think it would hurt them more. But because for the most part, this is an older running back class, you can't hold it against anybody because you bump the whole group down. So I get where it's a concern, but when you're in a room full of guys that are 22 and 23, it's not as much a concern as if you're the elder statesman in a group of guys that are 20 and 21. So I get the concern, but I don't have it this year because they're in the same – it's all the same group.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, the younger guys are, you know, in Spiller to be determined, but are all, you know, higher ranked for a reason.
And yeah.
Probably sought after more by the NFL for that same exact reason, even though everyone besides probably Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker are going round three and later. It means a third running back might sneak into round two with them. I do envision Breece Hall and Walker going in round two somewhere, if not early round three, but 80% of these guys we're talking about are day three picks, you know? So yeah, like to your point, the NFL doesn't give a shit that they're 23 because they're envisioning them being on their team for 2 or 3 years, you know, maybe four at tops and moving on. So the good part is the older guys have proven versatile. And to your point, everyone is right net, you know, within 6 months of each other. On the older side, these players are staying in college longer. Get your degree, I guess, and there's not an appetite for the running back position in the NFL. So why are you rushing? No pun intended to get there. Just graduate, get your rookie contract, and maybe you eke out a second year deal. But you're not chasing money at this point in time, right? I mean, you're a day two, day three pick. I mean, you're going to make a couple hundred grand to play football.
You know, yeah.
Make the best out of it. So maybe there is some logic behind it. But any of those guys or anyone else you wanted to talk about? Zonovan Knight took a nosedive.
Okay. That's who I was going to bring up.
Go ahead.
You've left him off completely.
He gone.
And wasn't he a top 10 for you? Or probably. Damn close to it?
I liked his name. Yeah, he was eight. I had him high. I liked the tape.
And now he's gone completely.
As if he never happened.
The one name I don't think either of us had ranked prior to the combine that you have at 14, now I have at 17, Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma. Again, we knew neither of us watch a ton of college, do a lot of Devy. So a lot of these guys are names I've never heard of. But he was the one guy as I watched the combine drills. I was like, oh, I never heard of this guy. I kind of like what he's doing out there. I could, if he gets, again, knowing nothing about him, if he gets a little better draft capital, I think, or even lands in a good spot, I mean, it's not always about draft capital, especially with running back. It's which team you end up in, which scheme do you fit. Brooks could be someone I have bumping up quite a few spots following the draft.
Yeah, Kennedy Brooks is just Samaje Perine 2.0.
Oh, no.
So
that's terrible.
You take that what you want. I mean, he's not terrible. But, you know, it's funny. Like, we're talking about, like, you know, how the mighty have fallen. I mean, a few years ago, wouldn't names like CJ Verdell and who's the other friggin' kid? I'm drawing a blank on him right now. The little white kid. Whoever.
Oh,
Max Borgi.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You
know, a year ago. Yeah. Borgi was.
No one's even talking about him.
Taken in Devy Leagues.
Yeah.
For this ahead of this year. And yeah. People were hoping he came out last year.
And just for context, his name is Massimilio Borgi.
And we have that guy's
pretty
gone
off pretty the face strong of the name. Earth. But you know, poof, just like that. You know, all Borgi did was the bench where he threw up 20, and then I think all that, what's his name, non-jumping CJ Verdell did is a sub 30-inch vertical. He also sub 10-footed his broad. So. He went the Isaiah Spiller route where he said, let me pick two drills I'm going to suck at and let's put them on tape for everyone to see.
So they practice before the combine, correct. Obviously, with the exception of Ryan Leaf. I don't think anybody just shows up without even being aware what they're going to be asked to do.
The Leafer.
What? I just don't get how the teams around these guys make some of these decisions. Like, even going back to somebody we liked, I mean, Kyren Williams, how the fuck – they knew he was going to run slow, right? I mean, they probably didn't think it was a 4.65, but they knew he was going to be slower than they had hoped. So how do they let him go out there and do that? If he doesn't run, or let's say they fake an injury and he just goes and does medicals and does some interviews, he's still probably top four conversation, right?
Yeah.
Top five. But instead, he tests.
He tanks. He's a day three pick.
You have him 12. I bumped him to 7. NFL teams, you know, everything around the NFL Network was how shitty he did. That's what's going on in the NFL boardrooms talking about who they're targeting. So it wasn't a shock. It's not like he pulled his hamstring halfway through this.
I would have acted like I did. I would have went down. Like a sniper got me.
Yeah. I mean, they knew he wasn't going to do well. I don't get how they let them kill themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. You know, it's, some guys are competitors. You know what I mean? Like, they were talking about that with Ja'Marr Chase last year, right? Like, dude didn't have to do anything. I mean, he didn't even play football the year prior, and everyone was like, yeah, he's a wide receiver one in his class. He still went and tested, and he tested through the roof. But, yeah, you know, some guys just like to compete. I mean, it might not be in their best interest, but they do it. Two more guys I did want to discuss real briefly before we get out of here to get your opinion on, because you don't have either of these guys listed at all. And one is Keontae Ingram, who was the Texas transfer to USC. Bigger body guy, 6 foot, 221. You know, decent combine, ran a 4.53, 34.5 vert, 122 broad. I like the player. I think he needs to lose a little weight, but I'm very interested to see what the NFL thinks of him. And then lastly was Ty Chandler, who picked up the slack after Michael Carter and Javonte Williams left UNC. 5'11", 204. I was kind of impressed with his combine all around as well. So it got him on my radar. That's kind of like a later, you know, day three, day four rookie pick for us. This kid at 5'11", 204, ran a 4.38 40, not an impressive vert at 31 inches, but a plus 10 foot, 121 inch broad. Just liked the player when I saw the tape, and he didn't test poorly. So he might be creeping up for me a little bit. I ultimately think I will be drafting Ty Chandler above like Kennedy Brooks. So, I mean, I could probably almost make that switch right now when it's all said and done. And then now he's a top 14 type guy, which is probably a round three, round four rookie pick in my opinion, but just two guys who I did like. And Keontae Ingram had name recognition before, you know, Bijan Robinson stepped on campus at Texas and forced him out of the state to go get some burn at USC.
Chandler,
guys are tiny. You got a bunch of little guys on the back end of yours, and Jerrion Ealy and Zonovan Knight. And
I like Jerrion Ealy. I know you do. Ty Chandler, I never heard of him. He looked good at the combine. I ranked 19. If I did a 20th, it was going to be Ty Chandler.
Okay.
And Keontae Ingram, name recognition. Yes, I knew he existed. But like I said, for the combine, I didn't get to watch it live, and then I had to piece together what clips I could see. I didn't see a single, you know, some of it was highlights, which running back did this. I didn't see him once in anything I watched, so I have just seen nothing of him. So kind of the way, what was that, tight end Dulcich, kind of the way we did that with him, I just haven't seen anything, so I don't know where he fits in my things.
All right, and then lastly, a late addition, omission to mine. Kevin Harris is now my running back 13. From off the list to he is now on the list. I've been so like rose-colored glasses with his teammate, Zaquandre White, that I haven't ever said anything nice about Kevin Harris. But he's more like the thunder to White's lightning. Kevin Harris tested really well.
I saw a few things of him, and I came away impressed, but I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, I got to go back and look, but he did enough to jump the rest of these slouches for me in the short term. Just a placeholder guy I wanted to put on there before we got out of here. Has the body type, had good production, and tested well at the combine. So he's checking a lot of boxes as far as what you should be looking for in the running back is concerned. That puts a bow on our post-combine rankings. But before we get out of here, we got some more news. Confirmed that Connor is staying in Arizona. I'm seeing 3-year deal. Jarvis Landry was released from the Cleveland Browns, which everyone expected after they signed Amari Cooper. And per Jeremy Fowler, the Pittsburgh Steelers are signing quarterback
Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, Mitch Trubisky. They said they wanted mobile. They watching all these, you know, quarterback deals coming out for epic sums of money. They clearly distance themselves from Deshaun Watson and aren't enamored with this class, or don't think they're going to get Malik Willis, or maybe Mitch is a stopgap. If Willis is there, they still take Willis, and they,
you know, that's a good signing.
I agree. And for everyone that was out there trying to acquire all the Trubisky they could get, that's good for, in my opinion, I think Trubisky, again, got short-sticked a little bit. I don't think he's an all-timer, but he has tools. And if they can kind of point that ship in the right direction, like Sean Payton did with Jameis Winston, you know, after he kind of flamed as a first-round pick, he has the athleticism to be a low-end quarterback one.
What happens to Deontay Johnson?
It's not good for Deontay. It is good for Chase Claypool.
No.
Very good for Chase Claypool. And then Freiermuth and Najee Harris. I mean, it's going to help the offense as a whole. But, yes, I mean, you knew that no one was peppering Deontay Johnson like Big Ben was. I mean, it's just there wasn't a quarterback to go there. I mean, that would have done the same. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, who's like the throw it short king, but maybe they just didn't trust his shoulder, or they didn't want to commit draft capital, you know, in trades or the contract that he required. You're probably getting Mitch Trubisky for like, what do you think, $10-12 million?
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, you could get 3 years out of Trubisky for what, like 1 year of another average quarterback.
knowing the history of the Bears and the terrible football karma that floats around, Trubisky is going to go to Pittsburgh and blow the doors off that place. And Justin Fields is going to flop.
you could have left the Justin Fields part out, but I'm kind of there with you. It's going to be tough to see, but I'm trying to look down, see if there's anything else for us to touch on. Fantasy Pros is reporting that Davante Adams has informed the Packers he will not play under the franchise tag. Shocker. He's told them that the entire time.
I mean, and the Packers are wise to try to sign him to something because they don't want to eat that fucking $20 million hit for this year.
And he knows he's got him by the short and curlies, right? I mean, yeah. Aaron Rodgers just came back, signed whatever that deal was, and Aaron Rodgers is going to, you know, have a silent sit-in if Davante Adams isn't there for minicamp. So
hey, good for Alan, him. Alan Lazard, Packers wide receiver one as of this moment. Then
this moment, yes. And speaking of Packers, they did release Za'Darius Smith, who was a good sign for them. Got hurt, couldn't afford him. Saves them $15.2 million against the cap, but it does leave $12.3 million in dead money. So still a bad deal when it's all said and done. And scrolling through a little bit more, I don't see anything else other than the obvious. Yeah, Tom Brady's coming back. That broke yesterday. I don't think anyone actually really thought that he was retiring. But he's officially coming back for one more.
Did you see what Fournette did?
No.
He posted on Instagram some like goodbye and thank you to Tampa Bay. And then Brady came back and he deleted it.
Get out of here. Yep. NFL rumors. The Colts are expected to go all in on Marcus Mariota to replace Carson Wentz. I thought Trubisky
made
sense there. But
listen,
you're looking at some of these guys that are getting second chances. And
I need that desperately in the football Premier League.
Oh, you got yourself some Mariota?
Boy, do I.
Yeah. All right. So if that happens, I mean, he's kind of the last man standing right now. Right, I mean, Trubisky's. I mean, I guess Winston, but Winston might just ultimately end up back with the Saints, as they are just cobbling it together.
And he should. I mean, that's a good spot for him.
And then after that, I mean, there's no more high end guys. I mean, you get like the Andy Dalton, Garoppolo, who should be a backup. Yeah, Garoppolo. I don't know where he would go if Trubisky and Mariota land in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. And we still got the domino of Deshaun Watson. Where is he going to fall? I mean, now you're hearing like Cleveland murmurs that, they're done with Baker. They want to shake that up as well. I mean, that Deshaun Watson would qualify as shaking it up. I don't think Jimmy G would qualify as shaking it up in Cleveland. No. So it's either you know, you stick it out with Baker, you make the big splash with Deshaun Watson. And then the last, your Seattle Seahawks as well, and the Carolina Panthers. So I guess there are still some spots, but I don't think Carolina, if they don't get Deshaun, they're not making a move for any of these other guys. They'll just shit the bed for one more year and hopefully hopefully fix it in 2023, or they'll overdraft one of these rookie quarterbacks.
We shall see. But that should do it for us. Check out Expand the Box Score, promo code 40, 4 days for free advanced stats. Be sure to check them out. It is draft season. They got tons of college data and stuff. You're looking to compare some of these guys, help you make some decisions in your rankings, tiebreakers, etc. For myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, we are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here. Called the Magic Convention, but it's got nothing to do with magic. It's
of course it doesn't.
It's I think it stands for something. It might even be spelled incorrectly, but it's
a K at the end.
Yeah, or a fucking J. It's a lot of clothing designers and shit like that. It's a pretty big one every year, and the clubs are real busy because everyone comes out and they're all dressed like goofballs. And then this fucking one day, I was working the door, and we don't allow sneakers, right? So this Asian dude, he looks nice. He's got a suit and everything, but he's got like sneakers on with it. So he comes to the door, and I'm like, "Listen, man, I can't let you in with those shoes." Then he's like, and he's like from China, Chinese. So he's trying to explain to me in his accent, you know, about the shoes and how much they are. I go, "Listen, I don't care what they cost." I go, "You could go, there's like a Ross down the street on the strip." I'm like, "You could go to Ross and get a $5 pair of dress shoes. Come back, dude. I'll let you right in." And I still laugh about it to this day. And I think about it anytime I talk about clothes. He gets in my face and he goes, "You don't understand the high fashion."
But I understand dress codes.
Oh, fuck.
High fashion.
He came back 3 years later and I let him in.
Damn right he did.
Yeah.
I'd have made him wait. If he tried to pull the right, let you right in, I'm like, situation has changed there. Back of the line.
One time on a Thursday, which is
I would be the most asshole bouncer ever created on God's green earth. Oh, I would. I would have a blast with it. I would just be just a terrible person.
I was never mean on purpose. I mean, if someone was an asshole, I would be, but it was just funny. People would just do dumb shit. Mark Cuban on a Thursday daytime, the pool was slow. Mark Cuban comes off the elevator for the hotel and I see him walk and I go, "Shit, that's Mark Cuban." And he comes to the door and I'm like, "How you doing? You have your ID?" He goes, "No." He goes, "No." I go, "Listen, I know who you are, but you're going to have to get an ID."
Mr. Cuban, sir.
Like, but he was cool about it. Most people, you tell other people, they're like, "Oh, I got to get
an ID." You know who I am?
Yeah, and he's staying at the Cosmo. So since he was nice, I was like, "Hold on, let me call my manager on the radio and see if they'll approve it." Like, I got Mark Cuban at the front door, but his ID's in his room.
They were like, "What the? Let him in, you fucking asshole."
No, they were like, "He doesn't care. Tell him to get his ID."
Wow. I thought you would have got the smack down and bring that money in.
Mm-mm. That was the best part of working for that company. Oh,
by the book, they didn't give a shit about anyone.
I have thrown out people who had a $300,000 bill.
Oh, just get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably have to pay their bill. I was gonna say they probably wanted to get thrown out.
Well, they still pay it. That's the best part. They're mad they're getting thrown out. "You know how much money I spend here?" And you get to tell people and they backed you up. "I don't give a fuck what you spent here."
You go like this. "Oh, I know how much that's gonna hurt you on your way out the door."
Yeah.
"Don't land on your wallet, sir."
Yeah, they did always back us up on that shit. It was excellent.
I like it. Need more of your stories. My stories aren't nearly as funny. I mean, they're just sad stories about like my house not ever being finished. Speaking of, so I Did I tell you like two weeks ago? So it would have updated you on last week's call. They came out again to fix my floor and they couldn't. Because again, it wasn't the right floor. And they keep telling me about these locking mechanisms, which I understand locking mechanisms in like engineered floors, but I wasn't understanding why they kept ordering the wrong locking mechanisms. I'm like, this is the floor. Why is this so fucking difficult? So finally, someone explains to me that the manufacturer changed the locking mechanisms entirely. So it's not about ordering right or wrong locking mechanisms. They couldn't fix my floor because the manufacturer of the floor I bought changed the locking mechanism entirely. So you couldn't retrofit it into my original floor. But they were assured by the manufacturer that the last shipment that they had got was the old locking mechanisms so that they could fix it. Well, it was not, right? So they ripped my floor up for the second time now to only have to put it back together in pieces. My floor looks like my son did it at this point in time, tragically bad. So I called the guy afterwards and I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. Okay. Like, how many times are you guys going to have to come out to fix this?
But wait, now this is my
flooring company. Like, this is what you do and you can't figure this shit out. Like, and why did he take the whole floor up again before he realized that it didn't work?
But like, wait, this is the second. Because the first contractor fucked it up.
Oh,
so
well,
this
sure.
is the this is the actual is the
flooring
fix.
Company. Yes, this is a company. This is all they do.
So the first guy fucked it up. Now the guy who has fixed it has done it twice himself already.
Okay, this is a big flooring company. Okay, uh-huh. There's no one. So it's not even just the guy.
Sure,
company. But yes, the first guy fucked everything up. Right, correct. I pulled the floor up myself from the first guy because I was like, I'm not paying people to take up this shit floor that I'm not paying that guy to put down. So I went through these meetings and this was legit engineered hardwood floors like that I took up. So these are like thick, heavy. It was backbreaking work because I was trying to keep them. So I wasn't just ripping it out. I was like disconnecting and like lugging it up two floors to my attic, like just handfuls of wood. It's I will never be right again, but got that done. Had a new company come in. When I took the whole floor up, I saw how shitty the first guy did and installed. There was a little holes in my floor, like under the hardwood. Like there was just like fucking holes, like this
big. Big?
Yeah, like nothing supporting it, right? And so I called the company. I was like, listen, I took a bunch of pictures. I was like, before you guys get here tomorrow, I want you to know what you have in store. So they had to bring it's like underlayment. It's like a plywood, I guess, like a thin plywood that then they put down to try and level. And then they put cork in the back because it's on concrete and all that. But it was still pitched. So it started cracking in those points, which I told them that. And I was like, you guys knew about this. Like you said, you were going to put like self-leveler out, like really make this like a gradual, like so this type of shit wouldn't happen, but you didn't do it. So then I had to come back out the first time and they pulled up like a – well, no, they didn't even pull up. They drilled micro holes into the floor. Oh, and
yes,
sprayed.
You told me this. Correct.
Didn't fucking work whatsoever. Like didn't do anything. So then they had to come back out to pull that whole section up and they glued that mitchin back down. Okay, that didn't work. All right. So then the third time, just a new company, they ripped the whole back corner of my kitchen out. And that's the first time they realized that the locking mechanisms didn't work. So that guy had to then put like all the flooring back, but he had like cut all the connections because it wouldn't lock. So they literally were just like butted up against each other, glued down. So they sent a company out 2 weeks ago, Friday, and they were supposed to fix that part of the floor. Well, they did the same thing, ripped that whole section out and then realized this isn't the right floor. I can't fix it. So that kid then had to do the same thing of trying to patch it back together. But he did, if the first guy did a 90% job of making it look decent with what he had to do, this guy did a 9% job. Like there's like broken pieces of flooring, like put down, like egregiously abysmal. If I put these pictures right now, like on the internet, it would put their company out of business. Like this is how they left my house, out of business. So I called a guy. I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like this started January of 21. It's over a year. I'm like, you're a flooring
with this company?
Yes. I was like, you're a flooring company. Like this is fucking absurd. Like what are you going to do to fix it? And he's like, well, we can't just fix that spot. I was like, that's apparent. You've tried unsuccessfully like seven times. Like you're just wasting your own guy's time. It's two. Like So what are we going to do? And he said, well, the only thing that we can do is replace your entire floor. And I was like, I don't want you to replace my entire floor. Like, that's not what I want. Like, we live in this house. Like, we just want you to fix it. And they're like, well, we can't fix it. We can't. Like, they don't make it anymore. We've tried unsuccessfully 2 times. Like, this is the only thing we can do is give you a total new floor. So it's the same floor, but it's all new locking mechanism. So we're going to treat it as a total new install. So we'll rip everything out and we're going to totally replace your floor. And I'm like, this is fucking insane.
But it's no extra cost, right?
Oh, no, I'm not paying anything, but it's inconvenience.
Well, yeah, big thing.
Epic inconvenience, you know, and I had like finish work done behind them. Like,
yeah,
trim painted and mm-hmm. like, and, you know, and molding and all that type of stuff. That's all going to get ripped out. And I said, listen, if you mess anything up, you're paying for it. And the guy's like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, I had finish work done behind you guys because you were not supposed to come back. Like, this was supposed to be done. Like, so all my molding, you know, and my quarter round and stuff like that. And
they don't do the molding too. They don't do the molding.
They do like quarter inch low end. I have half inch. It's just so I think it looks nicer. Like quarter inch, I think it looks cheap personally. I mean, you could be like, hey, I got quarter inch around my entire house, but I just think half inch, especially in our kitchen, it was like a higher end. So I was like, I want half inch molding done in through my, and I said, and if anything needs to get painted and you guys won't paint it, I'm going to send you the bill for whoever I have come in to like do anything behind you. And he was like, well, that's fair. He's like, and I'm like, I've like clearly beat this guy. Like been like calling him like constantly. And I finally just hit a breaking point where I was just like, I'm just going to start asking for stuff. Like it's, I'm not going to be happy on the takeaway of this. Like you're in, like, I don't like, I'm like the worst part. I don't want a whole new floor. Like that's not what I'm angling for here. I just don't want you guys to come the fuck back, you know? And now it's going to be another 2-day job where my entire downstairs is ripped apart, you know? And I'm like, this is supposed to be done already. Like we were supposed to have gone through this, but so now I have to wait until the material comes in so they can schedule me to get my new flooring. So yeah, I'm going to go like a year and a half of trying to get flooring put into this house. That's absolutely. Oh, the one guy says to me, he's like, you know what we could do? He's like, we could put a transition right here in your kitchen. And then like, you could do something else like from the kitchen back. And I know the guy a little bit. He was a buddy's friend. So I've met him a few times and I looked at him. I was like, that's what I wanted. That's what I would have fucking done to begin with. And he was like, let's just say it. Like, I was like, get out.